With us right now, Rebecca Lobina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Barry.
You know, you just do have a knack for coming in with good weather, so we'll give you credit for that.
Well, thank you very much. I have a sign in my office that says, I've got sunshine on a cloudy day, and it's like right behind me, so anytime I do Zoom calls or anything, it looks like I have sunshine right above my head.
Oh, like a halo, like, almost.
Almost, but not quite. Yeah,
not quite, okay. Well, That's a good thing to have, and having sunshine on a cloudy day. Wasn't there a song?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I could almost picture it in my head, but I'm not going to try to do anything with it.
So,
looking at here we are coming into near the end of the year. We're almost in the final quarter. We're just a step away from the fourth quarter of 2021,
mm-hmm.
and the federal fiscal year is about to
end.
Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of a turning point. Is it too soon for businesses to start looking ahead to what they can change, what they can do better, what they can do differently in 2022?
Right. This is the perfect time, actually, for them to get ready, because it takes some planning time, and you don't want to already be in 2022 or at the very end of 2021 before you start doing planning for the next year. So this is prime time right here at the very end of third quarter, beginning of fourth quarter, where you need to kind of get all your ducks in a row for next year as well. And so that's what we were going to talk about is six specific things that small businesses should do to prepare for 2022.
Well, let's start right at the top of the list. What's number one?
So number one is to develop what they call a business continuity plan. So a business continuity plan, it's kind of a fancy way of saying just a plan that kind of goes over all the different business models, business emergencies, if you will, that can occur, and how you're going to keep your business up and running during those events. So, you know, those could be shortages on personnel. It could be stuff like what happens if there's a data breach or security breach. What happens if there's so we're coming into October here. What happens if there's a snowstorm, ice storm, you know, and the electricity goes out? So it may seem like one of those things like, well, that doesn't happen very much. So why would I, you know, put a lot of time and energy into that? Well, there's also like, what happens if there's a pandemic? What happens if government shutdowns occur again? So these things happen. So whatever the case is, something will happen. And you need to have a plan in place. And so there are free resources out there that can help you put together a continuity plan. And it's not as time consuming as you think it might be. But there are certain specific things that definitely need to be addressed in a continuity plan. One has to do with, do you have like backup, computer backup for your data? You know, are you going to be able to reach your customers? Can your customers reach you in case there is an electrical outage from whatever the cause may be, from ice storms to thunderstorms to whatever? So, you know, a car accident that knocks out a pole, right? And sometimes you're out of that. So do you have ways to access your financials and your customer databases and stuff like that? In other words, is it cloud-based or is it all on your computer? And if it is, for example, all on your computer, then you need to make sure that you're backing it up. So it's kind of a checks and balance for your business to make sure that should something occur, you have a secondary way to make sure that you're still going to be able to perform business as usual for the most part.
Is cloud-based a good way to go, and are more businesses going there?
Yes, definitely more businesses are going there just because of the robustness of how much the cloud can hold, whatever that amount is, you know, that you're willing to pay for, it can hold, right?
Mm-hmm.
This so-called cloud that exists out there. Security becomes an issue, but, you know, it's you can still have encrypted data. You can still have password-protected data. And now you have, you know, multiple authentication where you have to send a code or something and then type the code in. So it's a safe way to do business.
Is it a is it a, then it's a practical alternative maybe to the possibility that you could have a fire or something and your computer, if everything's on one computer.
Right.
Or if that hard drive on that computer crashes and destroys all the information on it.
That's right.
There's a lot of ways that could be bad for you.
Absolutely. And so working through a continuity plan, there's checklists in a plan. And so it'll say, is do you have backup? You know, do you have a way to access this? Do you have a way to call all of your employees? Like, do you have like the old school phone tree? You know, who calls who and when do you do it? If you are closed for the day or something, who posts that on social media or does it go on social media? Who puts it on your website so that your customers know? So there's all kinds of things to think through, and a continuity plan. We have a template for that at our office, and we'd be happy to work with anyone on putting together a continuity plan just to ensure that everything is thought through. Some things to consider too are like, what if there's a tornado? And your documents, where are your documents held? Like your insurance documents and things like that. Anything that you might need as proof, you know, of the stuff that might have gotten lost in a tornado or a fire or something like that.
I could see where this would be good, even if you didn't have an emergency or something come up. It forces you to think about it in advance and to maybe remember some things that you wouldn't have thought of otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's why I call it kind of a checks and balances for a business, because these are things that you should have in place anyway. And so as you go through that checklist of different things, you know, different resources, whether that's, do I have access to money? Do I have access to my customers? Do I have access to my employees? Those things should be in place anyway, right? Whether there's an emergency or not. And so going through that checklist, make sure that you're kind of doing business the way it should be done in order to be successful and sustainable. And that's really another word for continuity, is just being able to sustain your business during a time of difficulty.
And did you say that there are resources that you can provide that can help guide this process of putting one of these plans together?
Yes, we have checklists, we have templates, we have all kinds of stuff that people can utilize that makes the process less daunting and easy to go through.
And there's no charge?
No, there's not. Our office is subsidized by the Small Business Administration, and then my office specifically also through Northwest Missouri State. So since your tax dollars have already paid for it, our tax dollars, mine included, you know, you might as well come in and take advantage of these wonderful resources that are available.
So that's just one of six things you could be doing right now to prepare for 2022.
Yes.
What's number two?
Okay. So number two is to have something called business interruption insurance. So some people have heard of this, some people haven't. But business interruption insurance is there for any business for any reason that you can't hold a business open, you know. So it could be some type of disaster. It could be something entirely different. You could be a sole proprietor who falls ill and you know, your business can't be open. It could be that one of those scenarios we mentioned before, some kind of disaster, of course. But anything that causes your business to not be able to open, for the most part, there's caveats in there, but business interruption insurance is for that. So it actually pays out money that you would have lost during that period of time, or that you potentially lost during that period of time to you, so that, again, talking about sustainability for your business, you're able to continue on without failing as a business. And this comes about in particular because, like, last year and this year, we know we've had this pesky pandemic, right? And so 800 small businesses closed each day between April and September of last year, according to a report by Yelp. So I cite the source because it is Yelp. So I'm not sure. you know, they figured out who was closed, I guess. But still, to think that 800 businesses each day.
That's a lot.
Closed between April and September of last year, which were during, you know, the hardest hit months of the pandemic, I think. So you know, if you were closed for a few weeks or a few months, or if you couldn't get employees to come in or whatever the case was, something like business interruption insurance or a specific rider of some sort. Some people are more familiar with that term. You can get a rider on your insurance that is for something very special, like, you know, like your homeowner's insurance. You can get a rider on it if you have extra jewelry in your home or something like that. That's above and beyond what the normal is. So you can get a rider on your insurance policy that's very specific, potentially to a pandemic. You'd have to talk to your insurance provider about that.
Mm-hmm. I guess there's insurance for almost everything.
There is.
Things you don't think of.
There is. Yeah. There so, is.
And you don't have to go to Lloyd's of London, famously. Because you can read accounts of Hollywood people who insure their face or whatever. And, I mean, those things really happen.
They really do. You know, you have hand models that have their hands insured. I mean, there's a reason that they do that. It's because just in case something
just in
happens,
case. Yep.
They want to be covered.
So that's anything more on that part of it?
No, just be sure that you have some type of business interruption insurance for your business, despite whatever kind of business you may have.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what's number three?
All right. So number three is to, and we've talked about this before as its own topic here, but it is to create an emergency or savings fund for your business. So, you know, you can set up an account, savings account or something like that, as a business owner, and automatically have funds deposited into it each month, right? So whether that's a portion of the paycheck that you pay yourself goes into that, or however it is, it's an expense that you just say, this is an expense for my business, and every month this is what I'm paying to ensure that I have the ability to continue on with my business should, you know, something occur that is you can't foresee. You know, you can't foresee when your air conditioner might quit. You know, you can't foresee when there might suddenly be a roof leak or something like that, and you need to repair that, and it costs several thousand dollars. So you have to have that fund there. Really, it should be business as usual to have a savings fund or an emergency fund, or call it what you want, but it needs to be there so that you're able to, without necessarily having to get credit to finance something, to have the funds available for the normal things that go wrong with business, you know, operating a business.
Would this be what some people refer to as like a rainy day fund?
Yes, that's a great way to put it, a rainy day fund.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And so, you know, during the pandemic, that's part of the reason 800 businesses closed each day, because the vast majority do not have a savings fund. And when you include small and large businesses, I think the number was 51% of small businesses of all sizes, 51% of all businesses don't have any type of rainy day fund.
Would this be similar to homeowners are advised to, not just homeowners, but
individuals
are advised to have an emergency savings account enough to cover your bills for 6 months,
yes.
3 months, 6 months, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a recommended period of time, and is that the purpose of this rainy day fund for businesses?
Yep, it's exactly the same as it is for an individual. So same exact purpose and same exact general advice is 6 months worth of it, of operating funds for your business. So build, you know, start with anything and just build up to that point.
Is there any statistical information about how many businesses, what percentage of businesses have this?
The statistic I quoted before was 51% don't have it, so 49% do. So some people are doing it. That's great. But the majority, unfortunately, are not.
But you can help get them started in this direction, as with anything else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's no charge.
Yep, I can help them with their budget and figuring out how much would be appropriate, you know, for them to give each week, each month, and how much really is needed in working capital for 6 months worth of working capital for their business.
So that's number three. What's number four?
Yeah. Okay. Number four is to go ahead right now and schedule a visit with your tax preparer or your accountant. So whoever tends to do your books for you, I would recommend that now at the end of September, sometime in October, you go ahead and get that scheduled on the books, because there are recommendations that they can make to you that will help your possible tax burden that you may have. Things that they can figure out if you need to depreciate quicker, things that maybe expenses that you can go ahead and take that you didn't know that you could or should take in order to lessen your tax burden. And if you're one of those people who are looking to maybe sell your business in the next few years, you want to show as large a profit as possible. So again, get with your accountant or tax preparer, and they can help make sure that, you know, your numbers are reflecting what your future goals are.
Mm-hmm. Your tax accountant is someone you want to be in touch with more than just once a year.
Oh, yes, you should. You should. Not everybody is, but you definitely should, yes.
Well, my brother was a CPA, and he always complained about it. He'd say, look, you've got to do this a little bit in advance. I can give you some tips and stuff like that, and, mm-hmm. and keep in touch with your account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you wait until next year sometime and you're getting all your receipts or what have you, and then you give them to your accountant, well, time is it's done, right? Last year is gone. So anything that you could have done to lessen your tax burden or improve whatever it is that you're trying to achieve with your taxes, it's done. You can't go back. You know, it's a done deal now.
Yep. Plan ahead.
Plan ahead.
More with Rebecca Lobina just ahead. We're planning ahead for that. Rebecca Lobina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center, your guest on this part of the hotline. This morning we're talking about six things small businesses should do now to prepare for 2022. We got through number four, and we have number five coming up next.
That's right. So number five is to update your business goals for 2022. And then once you update them, create some strategies, of course, for reaching those goals. And so you want to look at your short-term goals as well as your long-term goals. So short-term, like what do I want to accomplish just in 2022, right? Long-term could be, you know, several years out, like, but you might need to start in 2022 or continue in 2022 in order to reach whatever those long-term goals are. So that's why I say, you know, you need to plan now so that from day one in 2022, you know what the plan is, you know what the strategies are. So you have a plan, work the plan. Mm-hmm. You know, I see that is a challenge for a lot of people to work the plan. They take the time, many people will take the time to put a plan together, or at least at the very least say, you know, write some goals down for the year or something, anything. But then, you know, and they have some strategies on reaching it, but then they get back into the day-to-day normal operating and they're not being strategic with their actions. So they're not working the plan that they had. And so that's why I say have a plan and work the plan. Working the plan is way harder than having the plan, right?
Yeah.
Anybody can write it down, you know, or throw up some goals on a whiteboard or something, but you need to actually be willing to work the plan, figure out what resources are going to be necessary for you to achieve those goals, how much time is going to be needed. Maybe there's a budget that needs to be created for that. What kind of daily or weekly resources are needed? And I have a template that people can use for that actually has that stuff on there. So they really think through, and I can help them with that as well, thinking through that whole resource list of like, okay, I need this, 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 and this. And then they have to hold themselves or their employees or whomever accountable, mm-hmm. right? So that's the catch, is holding yourself or your employees accountable to those actions and following through on them.
And not being falling prey to the urgency of now.
Mm-hmm.
Today's business. You've got to be able to pull back a little bit, look ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that when you have those goals and you have those strategies in place, on the template that I use with people, the worksheets that I have, it has a place that says, you know, the date that milestone or goal was achieved or the task was completed. So it's one of those, another visual prompt that says, I got to check that off, right? And so, and then I advise people to put that on your calendar. You know, if you are supposed to do something once a week or whatever, then find a time on your calendar that that happens and put it on there as a reoccurring thing and don't book over it.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Don't skip it.
No, don't skip it. Don't overbook it. Just, you know, set the little ding to go off on your computer when it's time and you stop whatever you're doing. You work on that thing so that you achieve your goals, because that's what you have to keep in mind, is the whole purpose is to achieve those goals. Mm-hmm.
And number six.
And number six, last but certainly not least, is to consider refinancing any higher interest debt that you have. And specifically, I wanted to mention the SBA. It's called the EIDL or EIDL loan. So EIDL stands for Economic Injury Disaster Loan. And so right now, that is still available through the end of this year for anyone that had a business open during the pandemic and as of February of last year anyway, during the pandemic. And that the rules have changed. So that's why I wanted to bring it up, because it is a 3.5% interest rate for everyone. So whoever gets it, it's 3.5% interest rate and it's for 30 years. But what's changed on it just in the last couple of weeks is that now you have 2 years before you make your first payment. So that's a change. It was 1 year. Now you get 2 years of no payments until the first payment's due. And then the other really big change that occurred is that $2 million is now the cap. It was $500,000. Now it's $2 million. Big difference. And the final change is the one that really has to do with refinancing any debt you have. And that is, they are now allowing you to utilize this EIDL loan for paying off any other debts that you have. So before, you could utilize it just to make a payment each month, right? Mm-hmm. You couldn't prepay in advance or anything, but you could use that money just to make a payment each month on whatever commercial debt you had. Now, if you have commercial debt, let's say you get $600,000 and you have a $700,000 mortgage or whatever on a building that you have, you can just pay it off. You can use all $600,000 of it to pay it off. And now you have a loan for 3.5% instead of whatever your other building was. And now it's over 30 years. And now you have no mortgage payments for 2 years. So it really frees up a lot of cash for someone in the refinance world. And so if that sounds like something that might be good for you, I would definitely recommend talking to me about it, and I can help you work through that whole process, the application process.
Yeah, anything that can reduce the cost of money, the cost of borrowing.
Absolutely.
Good thing.
Yeah.
Well, those are all good pieces of advice. And so we often need to be reminded of these things, though. You get caught up in the day-to-day business. And I'm sure that you deal with that, too, even with all the planning that you have to do for everyone else. You've got to do it for yourself.
We do. We're going through strategic planning for the SBDC next week.
There you go. So you're practicing what you
preach.
That's
right. That's right. We do. We try really hard.
Anything else that we want to kind of highlight here before we wrap it up? We got about a minute.
I don't think so. I just wanted to remind people that the Small Business Development Center is located in the St. Joseph Chamber of Commerce, and that you do not need to be a member of the chamber in order to come in and see me. It's open to the public. Although if you want to be a member of the chamber, that would be fantastic, right? And what else? Our services are at no charge to you. So all of the things that we've talked about today and many more, we don't charge for them because our tax dollars have already paid for them. So we offer Fortune 500 resources at no additional cost to you.
That's a pretty good bargain.
It's a very good bargain.
A lot of research information is available.
Yes.
Through your office.
Yes. We have professional people and professional resources. So if that's what you're looking for, then we are the place to go.
Rebecca, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Barry.